I've missed y'all. I'm very, very excited to be here. It was great to do Men's and Women's Night with Stanton and Brooke. They did an excellent job. And then even last week, Drew Humphrey with Highland College. College Night, taking over Vertical, was awesome. But it just like made me miss y'all. Even though I was around, I was here. But I'm just like so thankful to get to be back in God's word tonight. We're going to be exactly where Jada just read. And so Matthew 5, 33 through 37, if you're a note taker, that's where we're going to be. And we're going to be talking tonight very simply about how our words matter. And it's very, very simple. Jesus teaches us these things because first, we're naturally flaky people. Matthew 5:33, as she just read, it talks about how even in the old days, like this isn't a new thing that people have had to swear and to prove that what they're saying is going to be true. And so college students, I don't even think you would try to defend yourself if I was like, college students are flaky. You'd be like, ha, yeah, right? Like it's like, whatever, duh. And I actually was with, weirdly enough, my wife and I were having dinner with a family in Waco last night, and unintentionally, someone at the table starts talking about how people in Waco don't keep their commitments. And I was like, snap, that's what I'm about to talk about tomorrow. And I said, you know, I really think it's a millennial, which is me, and a Gen Z problem. And she was like, oh, no, Dale, it's a problem everywhere. And this is like a mom status person. I'm not calling her old. She's just mom. She is a mom. And she's like, this is a problem for all of us. And what's really at stake here, though, as we talk about commitments, as we talk about our words and all these different things, it's not really just our calendars and our responsibilities. It's really more about our character. Because as we're living, we're either gaining credibility or we're losing it. We're either strengthening our reputation or we're damaging our reputation. We're either building trust with the people around us or we're eroding trust. As we use our words, it's going to be important to see what Jesus has to say. And so I want to stop right here before I kind of give you a preview of what we're going to be looking at tonight. About 7 years ago, I lived in Dallas. I know, I can't believe it either. And I'm so glad to not be there anymore. And so I graduated from Baylor. I went to Dallas for a year. It wasn't for me. I moved back to Waco. And in that year, I worked at a local church. And at that local church, my friend Adam Tarno, who worked at Watermark at the time, was teaching this passage on a Sunday morning. And I was like an intern, practically, but he wrote this sermon and let me help him. So 7 years ago, he taught this, and I got to give him some feedback. And so some of this tonight, I just want to, if you know me, you know that, and if you've been around at all this semester, you know I've been citing my sources because, you know, we aren't for plagiarism here at Vertical or at Baylor University. Just want you to know, Adam Tarno has a lot of the thoughts where tonight came from as well, but weirdly, I got to help him write this, so I had to text him and be like, hey bro, is it cool? Like, I have the outline, and I didn't use his exact outline. I actually changed a lot, but a lot of the thinking that, and really some of the creativity came from him, so I want to cite him. Where we're going to be tonight, again, Matthew 5, first thing we're going to see, as we know that our words matter. I'll say your words matter. The first thing we're going to see is that we're supposed to quit qualifying. I'll explain that in a moment. And then second, we're going to see that flaky isn't faithful. So let's look to verse 33 as we start. Again, Jesus says, you heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not take an oath at all. Either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the king of the or the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. And so what we see is that Jesus is saying, do not take an oath. Do not swear. And if if you're here and you're wondering, like, what does that have to do with us today? It's very simple. Jesus is telling the disciples that what the Pharisees were starting to do is they were starting to take an oath by Jerusalem. I swear by Jerusalem that blah, 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 blah was true. And so they had to make an oath. They had to swear in order to get around things, because sometimes they would swear by particular things so that they wouldn't have to do it. And they were really being deceitful, which sounds crazy, but that's really why they were starting to use some of these oaths and some of this swearing, so to speak. So the Pharisees knew they were liars, so they had to validate their words with oaths. And so they knew that they couldn't bring disgrace upon God's name. They knew, I can't swear on God, so I'll just swear upon Jerusalem. And Jesus is like, this isn't the solution. Like, swearing by other random things. I swear by my mama that this is the truth. It's like, no. That's not the solution that Jesus is giving us, which shows us that our word matters and we must quit qualifying. I don't even use the word oath or swear. My first point is that we must quit qualifying. And what I mean by that is we do the same thing. We just don't say, I swear anymore. We have actually graduated in our words. Let me know if any of these sound familiar. These are newer qualifiers, newer ways of swearing. For example, no lie. I cried when Kayo didn't place and sing. I cried, no lie. For real. For real, that's the best meal I have ever had, right? I'm not even kidding. All this news about Ukraine, it's ruined my week, right? I promise. My roommate has never done the dishes, not once. Promise, right? Or let me be honest with you. I thought we were going to get crushed in the first 5 minutes of that Baylor men's basketball game on Saturday. And I was kind of worried. I promise. Let me be honest, my personal favorite. Literally, I died. And honestly, it's almost 100% positive. If you start with the words literally, it is going to be figurative. Like, I don't know what it is about our words. Usually the word literally is like, literally, I rolled on the ground laughing. And you're like, did you actually? No, not literally, but you know what I mean. And you're like, but you said literally. Like, if I'm not mistaken, you use the word literally. And I must stop right here. This has been a tough week for me. As I've been reading this, and I'm realizing Jesus has called us to quit swearing, giving oaths, and quit these qualifiers. It's been kind of hard to communicate. Even at lunch today, I'm like prepared to give the sermon today at lunch, and I'm sitting there, and I said, I said no lie, and I almost just said literally before I said no lie. I don't know if you caught that. It's very challenging, and I want us to see what Jesus is teaching us, that our qualifiers don't build credibility or trust. They don't strengthen our reputation. And it's not us realizing that our words matter. If we have to preface with honestly, then a natural right thought is, were you not being honest earlier? Words matter. And we'll get to this at the end when it's like, this feels small. It is so, so important. So the first thing, when we learn that your words matter, is that we quit qualifiers. The next thing, so we don't take oaths, we don't swear, we quit qualifying our words. And so Jesus' solution is to simply commit. We simply do what we say we're going to do. Verse 37 says this, Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So all you need to say is yes or no. And you don't need to qualify things. And in addition, what Jesus is saying is when you say you're going to do something, you do it. When you say yes to something, it's very clear that it's a yes. When you say no to something, it's very clear that it is a no. And so the second point I want us to look at when I want you to understand that your word matters is that flakiness is not faithfulness. Because it's simple, but it's not easy. If you've said yes, it means yes. If you've said no, it means no. If you said you would call someone, your mom, then you call them. If you said you would go to the birthday dinner, then you go. If you liked the text message that said, like this message, if you're going to be there, then you go. If you said you would finish your part of the group project by Thursday, then you get it done by Thursday. If you said you would Venmo them back, then Venmo them back. When you tell a story, be accurate. You don't exaggerate. You don't add anything else to your statements. We have fallen for, in some ways, I would venture to say, the enemy's trap to dress up our words and be dramatic and exaggerate. Why? One, I think that we get attention from it, right? It's kind of funny. And you're like, I literally was dying after that happened. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. And it's what we don't realize is that it's eroding trust. And it is ruining our reputations in these small and little ways, and specifically when it comes to exaggeration and drama, which is very, very important for me. In fact, I've really struggled with this through the years. As I've been a teacher of God's word, I've had to be really, really careful as I tell stories not to exaggerate them. I really was, really, I don't know if really counts. We'll talk about it later. Anyways, I was pulled over going 112 in a 65. I don't need to exaggerate. That's fact. But in the way that I tell the story, I don't want to tell different details that are exaggerations. I want what I say to be true. And you and I, we want attention. We want affection. We want people to know about us and remember us and remember our stories. And I'm telling you, it's a trap from the enemy. So even if it costs you, you and I are meant to do what we say we're going to do. Even if it costs you. And here is the challenge. Is sometimes it's easy to say what you're like, to do what you say, right? You make a commitment and to keep a commitment. Sometimes it's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. But there are going to be moments in your life where you say yes to something and something better comes up. It will cost you. But you must treat all commitments in a lot of ways equally. And I was thinking about this week. As I was thinking about my own life, I would be pretty quick. I actually bailed on somebody in this room who I've made eye contact with since I've been. Where's Langley? That's my guy. I was supposed to meet with Langley this week, and I had to push it to next week. And I thought to myself, I'm not sure if that was the best thing for me to do in light of what Jesus is teaching me this week in the scriptures. But I also had a commitment to work the Kansas basketball game on Saturday. And I thought to myself, would I ever have tried to move the Kansas basketball game on Saturday to fit my schedule? No, I couldn't have. I'm zero important, right? And none of you could move that. And Langley was gracious and kind. We rescheduled for next week. But I really, that was a moment of realizing, like, man, was that the right thing for me to do? And I had overcommitted, which we'll talk about in a second. And that's the reason why I had to push meeting with Langley until next week. And so even if it costs me, I should have kept that commitment. Thankfully, Langley was gracious. Thanks for being here tonight. Jesus is telling us to let our reputation be our validation. And he's also showing us flaky isn't funny. It's not. Especially when you're on the other side of it. And it's not faithfulness. God has called us to be a faithful people. And it is a terrible reflection of who God is when we are flaky and we don't do what we say we're going to do, or when we exaggerate, or when we use qualifiers. These are wasted words. One of my favorite questions to ask as we read the Bible is like, what does this passage say about God? And I think what's interesting, this passage, I think, is showing us that God cares about his word. It's kind of funny to think about. That God really cares about his word. The Bible tells us the Bible is true. And that's God's word. And it's trustworthy. And we as God's people, so God is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. Who he is trustworthy. He cares about his people's words being trustworthy. We're his people. We're disciples of him. We follow him. And so we too must be trustworthy. And again, I think the temptation is that this is a small thing. No big deal. Not a big deal. 37 says this, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So if you're saying, I promise I'm going to be there, it's actually not the best time to use the word I promise. And why I think that Jesus makes a pretty startling statement here is because what Jesus wants to protect us from is twisting truth. He never wants us to twist truth. That's a dangerous thing to do. In fact, that's what the devil does. See John 8. The devil twists truth. He even uses half-truths against Jesus in Matthew 4. That's what the devil does. The devil tempts Jesus with the Bible. But he twists the Bible. He twists the truth. And what Jesus is saying is, let it be yes and no. All other things is twisting truth, which makes it evil. Which is kind of crazy to think about. That every time we say, I'm going to be honest with you, that is actually evil. Our words matter. They're important. They reflect a trustworthy God. So we ought to be a trustworthy people. This is such an applicable passage for us tonight. I want us to think about five applications. Like, that's all we're going to be in. Verse 33 through 37, that's what Jesus is teaching us. And so I want us to apply this together. I think it's naturally applicable, but I think there's some other things that you and I can think about. The first thing is I want us to be content to commit. I'm going to say it again. Be content to commit. You see, we are fearful to commit. And we're even flaky on certain commitments because we have FOMO. Like, we are just so scared of missing out. There was a friend last week said that he was spending time with his buddies and they're like, what are you going to do this weekend? And in his head, he thought, I have nothing to do this weekend. But I know if I say nothing to do this weekend, then they're going to ask me to do something. And I don't have a reason not to do something with them this weekend. Like, he's trying to just juggle what's going to be the best offer that I get, right? What's the best thing I can get? And that keeps us from making commitments. And so here's something you can trust in. We find contentment in Christ. We find satisfaction in him. So we commit to people and we trust Jesus with outcomes. You will miss out on something. Welcome to college. There will be a day where you're invited to two weddings on the same day, and you will miss out on one of them. You will not drive to both. Don't be dumb. You're gonna miss out. Here's some good news. If your life depends on it, like if there's something that you're really afraid, then it's gonna mess up my entire life if I'm gonna miss this one thing. God doesn't cheat you. He's worth trusting in. He is good. You be faithful to your commitments and trust God is not ripping you off. I lived this a couple years ago. I said yes to working at a youth camp. So I was speaking at this youth camp, and one of my heroes in the faith asked me to come speak at one of their churches. Same weekend on a Sunday morning. And I'm like, Sunday morning versus middle schoolers. Like, are you kidding me? And so I start trying to work the system. I'm like, can we change the youth camp schedule so that I can drive to Houston and then drive back to this random youth camp in the middle of nowhere? And I'm trying to just like work the system. And I started to pray through it. I was trying to pray through this commitment. And I realized I just needed to suck it up. I had made a commitment to some random church in Austin to do their youth camp. And I was like, man, I'm gonna miss out on my, like, this is a hero of the faith that I'm saying no to. I'm like, this is devastating. He's never gonna invite me back. And he didn't for years. Seriously. Years. And then this summer, I finally got invited back. I was like, man, praise God, right? Like, I made the right decision. And God didn't cheat me. And that, honestly, that wasn't an easy decision. That's happened multiple times. And I could give more stories. I don't need to get sidetracked. Be content to commit. I promise. If you said you're going to go to do that thing with all the friends, go do it. And go enjoy it. Another thing is that if you need to, you should ask to be released from the commitment. You should ask to be released from the commitment. You should see a commitment as a gift that you've given somebody. You said, hey, I committed to being there. This is a gift, and I'm going to need that back. Something has come up. My parents have come into town, and I can no longer go to that thing that I committed to going to. And here's the problem. They need to be legitimate things that you ask for permission to have that commitment back. Intramural games, I don't know if those are legitimate. When you get to work one day, here's what I want you to think about. Your group project, you're like, I gotta miss it. Intramural game. Think about this. Go to work one day in about 5 years, maybe 10 for some of you. You're gonna get to work one day. Some of you PhDs, y'all took that the wrong way. Anyways. You're gonna get to work one day, and if you play intramural kickball on the side and you have a work meeting, and you're like, I can't make that work dinner. I got a kickball game. See what happens. See what happens. I promise it won't go well for you. And I'll just pick on vertical volunteers. Like, vertical volunteers are required to be here at 7:30 for a meeting on Monday nights. If you have a kickball game, a random playoff kickball game that comes up out of nowhere, which do you think is more important? The commitment. I'm just telling you, it's a commitment. And you're like, that sounds hard. It is. It's a sacrifice to be true to your word. So if you need to be asked to be released from a commitment because of something legitimate, I'm sick, something has happened in my family, I need to leave town, something along those lines, something that you would miss school for. Some of you are like, I skip school all the time. Not you. You're not. Ask a friend that likes class. Is this a reasonable reason to ask for a commitment back? And so if you miss a group project, we'll get to that in a second. So ask to be released from commitments. Ask to their face or call them. Don't text them. Or ask for forgiveness if you've broken a commitment. If you've messed up, if you've forgotten about something, if you've made an oath, or you made a commitment and then you didn't live according to it, you've lost your credibility. You need to call them and ask for their forgiveness. You missed the group project, call everyone in the group. I'm so sorry I missed. I slept through it. Be honest, be clear. Don't make something up. Ask for forgiveness for broken commitments. So be content to commit. Ask to be released from commitments if it's legitimate. Ask for forgiveness if you break a commitment. And then here's the fourth one. This one's crazy. Say no. Some of you can't keep commitments, myself included, because you have too many commitments. You can't keep commitments because you have too many commitments and responsibilities. And so you aren't keeping, you are doing an average job at keeping all commitments instead of just doing a great job at the responsibilities that you do have. And you're missing out because you're overcommitted, so we must learn to say no. And I'm telling you, this is going to blow your mind. And it's not super applicable right now, but there really will be a day where you can say no to weddings. It feels crazy right now. There's a day where you can say no to sporting events because you have group projects. There's a day where you can say no to blank because there's something that you've committed to. So say no. And then lastly, and this is really for me as well, be slow to speak. Be slower to speak. You see, we're going to go tomorrow through the school day. And at some point, you're going to see somebody and you're going to be like, let's hang out this week. If you can't hang out this week, then don't say that to people. And I say that graciously. On Wednesday night, my neighbor is driving past me, and he's like, come over tonight, let's hang out. It's going to snow on Thursday, right? He's like, no work, come hang. And I'm like, perfect, I'll come hang. And I get to my house as I pull into my driveway, and I remember, we're doing date night at home. I'm like, I can't go to the neighbor's house. My wife will kill me. And I'm like, I shouldn't have said anything. I'm learning about this in the Bible right now. Like, how can I not figure this out? I'm just so quick to be like, let's hang out this week. Let's hang out tonight. And I'm not free tonight. What was I thinking? I'm so quick with my words. And so there's so many ways that this can be applied. It's honestly like overwhelming how applicable this is to our lives. And so as I said earlier, you naturally could think that this feels so small. And I just want to call that out right now. One mark of cultural Christianity is for you and me to choose what we think is right or wrong, really. Well, that's not really important. That's not really important or this. I choose what's important. Jesus said it, but that's not a big deal. It's no big deal. Hey, that is the beginning of a lukewarm faith that will not go well for you. And I say this all graciously before my wife and I got married. We were doing premarital counseling, and we finally met with our officiant. And our officiant said, man, this is awesome. We can't wait for the wedding. We love both of you. We're for your marriage. I only have one red flag. And I was like, bro, we're like 3 weeks away. This is no longer the time for red flags. You have missed your opportunity. We got to finish this, all right? Actually, just begin this. Anyways, engagement is not, anyways, whatever. And he says, very kindly and graciously, he said, my only red flag is that Dale doesn't always do what he says he's going to do. And he says, I'm just saying, like, sometimes he said he was going to text me on a particular day and he wouldn't text me. And sometimes he said that y'all weren't going to ride together to that function, and then y'all ended up riding together for whatever reason. He justified it, but he told me that y'all weren't going to do that, and it was very simple. I didn't like sin, but it was a sin because he lied. And ironically, that's kindness. So I pray this every day, that I would grow in being a man of my word. That I would do what I would say I do. I pray that I would have no compromise. I pray that I would have grit when it is hard, when the commitment is hard. And guess what was just before this on the Sermon on the Mount? Divorce. Jesus is warning the people about divorce, giving clarity about divorce, and then he says it's really important that you do what you say you're going to do. Your yes is yes, and your no is no. And it almost makes sense why so many people get married. They make a vow, they make a promise, and they don't really care about it. Jesus is warning us of those things. If you want some dating advice, here's some dating advice. Look for somebody that does what they say they're going to do. Because when it's hard, then they will do what they say they're going to do, even when it's hard. And I'm growing in this. I'm growing in this. I pray Matthew 5:37 every day. This is near to my heart. There's so much that's on the line in your lives in this realm. And the last thing, as I close, is that even though my friend rightly raised a red flag and said, hey, he just didn't do what he said he was going to do a few times, God's kind has forgiven me of those things. And the beauty of our words and the beauty of all of this is that the foundation of our entire faith is that God is faithful. Like, the foundation of everything that we believe in is that he is a God who keeps his commitment. Like, he has said, this is what he's going to do. I want to read from the book of Psalms. It's long before this ever happened. It says this about God: the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Listen to this: as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father who shows compassion and love towards his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear them, to those who fear him. What God is doing, he said it thousands of years ago, and on the cross, he kept his commitment. He's saying, I'm not going to hold your sins against you. And he made a way for that through his one and only son, Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel, is that God is faithful to restore his people. God is faithful. Since Adam and Eve sinned, God has been making a way, promising to provide a way, and being faithful on that commitment. And we get to live in light of God's faithfulness, that he does what he says he's going to do. We were just talking vertical volunteers. We're just talking just before this. Did you know that in the Old Testament, before Jesus ever came, it said that Jesus was going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver? Like, God was in his scriptures. He said, this is what's going to happen to Jesus. And it came true. That's how faithful God is. He's specific and he is faithful. Jesus' cross and his resurrection is proof of God's faithfulness. And so we, as God's people, are to be faithful and use our words and understand the weight of our words. And so we quit the qualifiers and we quit being flaky, because flaky isn't faithful. Let me pray that we would be a people that does this. Lord, we just come to you humbly and we thank you for a very, very applicable thing that we don't always think about. We thank you for your word and how relevant it can be today, even if we don't always think that way. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be a people who don't use qualifiers, because what we say is true. Would you help us, Lord, to do what we say we're going to do? Help us to not be flaky, because flaky isn't faithful. Lord, help us. If all of us catch this and understand this and follow you in this way, it really could look different. It really, really, really could stand out on this campus from cultural Christianity. Like, this type of obedience looks so different, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be a people of our word, to reflect you in being trustworthy. Would you use us in this way? And Spirit of the living God, would you convict everyone in this room this week? Would we grow? Would you sharpen us in this area of our lives that we don't even realize we need sharpening in? And so, Lord, we need you. Would you work in our lives in a mighty way? Thank you for your faithfulness towards us. You are the example of faithfulness. You do what you say you are going to do, and it was proven on the cross. We praise you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. In your name we pray.